How we think impacts how we act. We want to be successful. We want to live a life of significance filled with joy, happiness, meaning, and purpose. What is holding us back? Is it a lack of time and money, education, or genetics? Ogmandino suggests that the single greatest barrier is simply unhealthy habits of thinking. In Og's perennial bestseller, The Greatest Salesman in the World, we find the 10 scrolls, 10 time-tested principles of success. In Scroll 1, Og writes, "As a child, I was a slave to my impulses. Now I'm a slave to my habits. I have surrendered my free will to the years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future." Now Og continued, "My bad habits must be destroyed, and new furrows prepared for good seed." Do our current habits of thinking drive and support success, or sabotage our efforts? If it is the latter, what price are we paying in our businesses and personal relationships when we allow our thoughts to control our lives? Is it time to prepare new furrows, new neural pathways, by consciously planting new and healthy thoughts in our minds? What can we reasonably expect as these new and good seeds grow and mature? James Allen gives us this profound promise. He writes, "Radically alter your thoughts, and you will be astonished at the rapid transformation it will effect in the material conditions of your life." How is this possible? When we are committed to altering our thoughts and consciously engage in this process, we learn how to step back from unhealthy thought processes and make different and better choices. From this heightened level of awareness, we focus on connecting and loving and serving others. As a result, huge reserves of cooperation and productivity are unleashed in others, and we are the beneficiaries. From up here, free from the dark dungeons of fantasy and imagined catastrophe, we engage in vivid visualization that is clear and constructive. We receive inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that ignite our passion, which is a willingness to suffer for something we love. We feel connected and in partnership with a power greater than ourselves. Our self-esteem begins to heal. And we bring this clear and inspired vision into the now. Instead of being acted upon, we are in passion-driven action, creating value everywhere we go. We are real, genuine, and authentic, without the need to impress and pretend or feel ashamed or fear. We finally use our natural genius and experience a deep sense of accomplishment. We let go of the need to be right. We let go of resistance and resentment and even rebellion. We find joy in our journey regardless of the firestorms of life that may rage around us. In short, we more clearly see opportunity, while others remain mired in fear, frustration, and discouragement. We live on purpose, we serve others, and intentionally create the success we desire. Og emphatically states that as we embark on this journey, "I will begin to awake each morning with a vitality I have never known before. My vigor will increase, my enthusiasm will rise, my desire to meet the world will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise, and I will be happier than I ever believed it possible to be in this world of strife and sorrow." Now, over time, and as we continue to plow and plant to nurture these new fertile furrows in our mind, new thoughts take root. Weeds of old habits are pulled out and destroyed. Strong new habits grow to maturity. It takes effort, focus, and a little time. But the very idea that this is possible is simply miraculous. Og describes it this way. "Eventually, I will find myself reacting to all situations which confront me, as I was commanded to react. He continues, and soon these actions and reactions will become easy to perform, for any act with practice becomes easy. Thus a new and good habit is born, for when an act becomes easy through constant repetition, it becomes a pleasure to perform. And if it is a pleasure to perform, it is man's nature to perform it often. When I perform it often, it becomes a habit, and I become its slave. And since it is a good habit, this is my will. Today, I begin a new life. Ogg described this in 1968. At the time, neuroscience was in its infancy. Yet Ogg beautifully and poetically describes how an old neural pathway is replaced by a new one. Neuroscientists tell us that the brain has neuroplasticity, the ability to be reshaped or rewired. They tell us that when a new neural pathway is created, the brain very literally prunes off the old synapse as if it were a dead branch. We have grown a new habit, a new neural pathway. Now, Ogg tells us that we are nature's greatest miracle. Oh, no. How true is this? The ability to step back, become conscious and aware of our thoughts, and make the conscious choice to change? This is uniquely human. Only we can remove bad habits of thinking by replacing them with new and healthy thoughts. This is the one thing that separates us from all other animals. What happens if we remain unconscious, or go on automatic, or are too exhausted to fight these sabotaging thoughts? How hard is it to stay conscious, clear, and committed? How much pressure do we get from our unhealthy and unbalanced thought processes? What impact does this pressure have on our ability to support healthy and balanced thoughts? How difficult does all of this make it to maximize our natural strengths and consciously create success? Success demands that we master six qualities of an intentional creator: the art of connecting with people, setting goals and realistic expectations, living in the now, completing tasks, surrendering to discipline and structure, finding joy in the journey, and healing our self-esteem. Each quality is supported by six important characteristics. These characteristics can either be supported by or sabotaged by our habits of thinking. Let's consider some potential challenges by examining how unhealthy thoughts can impact a couple of these characteristics. Let's start with one of the characteristics that supports connecting with people. It's being respectful. This characteristic is the ability to recognize and appropriately acknowledge the value of a person's appearance, or possessions, accomplishments, talents, contributions. Now, this is a good thing. However, if we have thought processes that minimize the value of noticing others, we may miss these important opportunities. Now, conversely, if our thoughts want us to give too much focus to these outward qualities, we may create an entirely different set of challenges. Let's explore. Society in general conditions us to focus too much attention on outward qualities. Nearly every magazine, a movie, an internet site holds up images of beautiful, accomplished, financially successful, gifted, and talented people as the standard for success. Image is everything. Character? Seldom measured. If we have developed a habit of thinking this way, focusing too much on outward appearances, and we're on automatic, what kind of pressure does this put on our ability to be appropriately respectful? For example, when we meet a person who looks accomplished and wildly successful, especially in areas we think we are not, are we at first intimidated? Do we feel uneasy? Do we get sweaty palms and a dry mouth? Do we say things that leave us feeling even more awkward and inadequate? Do we ever feel uncomfortable in unfamiliar social settings? If so, What impact can this have on our ability to be real and genuine and authentic, able to step into someone's world with ease, create a safe place, make a new friend, open new opportunities, and create healthy relationships? Ever want to hide in a cocoon? If so, we can't find success in that dark place. Now, conversely, do we see these outward appearances, get excited, and create expectations about how well this person will perform based on how they look? You ever made a bad investment decision because a person looked and sounded trustworthy? Ever made a hiring decision based on appearance? Is it easier to trust someone who looks trustworthy? Is it easier to select someone who looks attractive? Are we ever disappointed when real life experiences meet initial expectations? If so, what price have you paid in personal and business relationships? Now let's flip the table and consider people who look less than successful. On what do we focus? Do we examine clothing brands, hairstyles or lack of hair, height and weight, physical condition, hygiene, speech patterns, grammar, lack of accomplishment or education? Do we ever consider where they live, what they drive, or the people with whom they socialize? What opportunities can we miss by thinking this way? Can we tell when people are checking us out to see if we stack up to their standards? How do we feel when we're being judged? Is it discernible? Is it comfortable? Is it intrinsically validating? Do others know if we are judging them? If we have a habit of thinking that causes us to focus too little or too much on outward appearances, and we're not conscious, we can be held hostage by these unhealthy habits of thinking and make poor and costly choices. If we add to these unhealthy thought processes the habit of focusing on what we lack, it will only further compound these negative outcomes. You see, how we think impacts how we act. These thought decisions, whether conscious or automatic, determine our destiny. Well, let's have fun with one more characteristic: analytical. This characteristic of an intentional creator supports our ability to surrender to discipline and structure. It allows us to examine new ideas that have the potential for solving problems and improving situations. However, what happens when we constantly or obsessively think about new and better ideas? Do we ever have difficulty shutting off our mind? Does it ever seem like it's constantly spinning on one topic or another? Do we have to turn on the TV or go to sleep to shut it off, and then only to be awakened in the middle of the night with even more ideas? The underlying thoughts for this characteristic are systemic. What that means is they focus on concepts that currently exist only in our mind, ideas and opinions. When our thought processes want us to constantly or even obsessively think about these things, our brain begins to construct an expectation. That's a concrete condition for happiness. What happens to our self-worth when someone just summarily dismisses our well-thought-out ideas and opinions? Now, to compound the challenge, a systemic thought processes dualistically. That means all or nothing, right or wrong, life or death. Now, these obsessive thoughts quickly become non-negotiable mental monoliths. That's a rock that in and of itself is a mountain. When this happens, we can feel very strongly about our ideas and opinions. And when we do, we can engage in right-wrong battles. Let's add one more ingredient. A systemic thought cannot distinguish the seriousness of a given topic. It has to be right about everything. Now, we don't need to be, but it needs to be. It can have as strong an opinion about which topping should be on a pizza as it does about thermonuclear warfare. If we do not step back from these obsessive and potentially harmful thoughts and consciously choose our actions, we will need to be right and we will crush people, and often over silly things. This is a hard one to fight. We can become exhausted quickly. Now, what happens when we come home tired and want to relax? You know, when we let our hair down and stop fighting the need to be right. What is it like to be around us? Are these obsessive thoughts creating damage in our personal and business relationships? Now, we could go on. We could discuss how unmet expectations created by obsessive and vivid thoughts can impact our joy in the journey. You know, life keeps showing up differently than we imagined. We could discuss how these unmet expectations negatively impact our joy for life, and how this far too often results in self-deprecating and destructive thought processes. For now, let us step back and ask, how am I thinking? What impact is this having on my actions? What impact are my actions having on my destiny? Do I like where I am? If not, it is time for measurement. Let us serve you in discovering if there are any unbalanced and unhealthy thought processes that are robbing you and everyone around you of your greatest gifts. Then let us assist you in discovering the principles, practices, and techniques that will assist you in stepping back, remaining conscious and committed, while creating real and lasting change. In scroll number 9, I Will Act Now, Og writes, I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure and misery and sleepless nights. I will command, and I will obey mine own command. I will act now. Success will not wait. If I delay, she will become betrothed to another and lost to me forever. This is the time. This is the place. I will act now. We invite you to log on to intentionalcreation.com. That's intentionalcreation.com, and take the assessment and give us your phone number, and we'll have one of our Og Mandino certified coaches call you for a free 20-minute consultation. Let us serve you.